Well, the readings today, I think, prompt a few words about the church's teaching on marriage. In the Gospel, Christ was asked a question about what was a very hotly disputed area in those days. The divorce laws, the marriage laws, were really very controversial in Jesus' time. And so he was bound to have to face it. And he refers back to first principles, really, of marriage that were expressed in the creation stories in the book of Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible. And we've just heard part of the second one, part of the second story. You know, the first one was about the 7 days of creation, and the second was about Adam and Eve. And there's two sides of the marriage theology expressed in those two different stories. And we've heard this one about the unity of marriage. Christ affirms the description there of the nature of the relationship between husband and wife, namely that it's a permanent, exclusive union of life and of love. And this is what two Christians buy into, if you like, in the sacrament of marriage. They give their lives first to each other, then to a family, and then more openly to a society. And it's an expression of God's love. So, if you want to see what God's love is like, then come look at our relationship. That's effectively what people are saying when they undertake the sacrament of marriage. They celebrate the sacrament of making visible of God's life and of God's love. What's wonderful to see for us all in that sacrament? It gives us hope. It doesn't have to be a thing of angelic beauty, does it? It can be a picture of determination and toughness. But it's a true and real presence of God. Marriage can, of course, be very hard to live. But it's actually hard to enter as well. There can be lots of relationships, especially these days, that are described as marriage, and fair enough for people to describe them as marriage, I suppose, but the church's sacrament of marriage stands apart as something quite different and something quite carefully defined. You can't just say, I do, in the right place at the right time. Otherwise, Gillian McRae and I would still be an item. But the fact we were only 8 at the time when we made our solemn vows to each other disqualifies it. You have to be of the right age. You have to have a maturity. You have to have a knowledge. You have to have an understanding. You have to have wisdom in making decisions. You have to be truly free for each other, and so on. And if any of those conditions are not met, then even if it looks like the sacrament of marriage, the church has always had procedures whereby it can, with hindsight, look back and say, no, that wasn't actually the sacrament of marriage. And it's a procedure that we all know as the procedure of nullity. In recent years, the church has tried to make that procedure more straightforward and streamlined, never diluting the church's teaching. But in times gone past, it was only people like Henry VIII who had a chance of getting through those procedures, famously, and it wasn't available to the rest of the church. But it is now, thankfully, expressing that great truth that the church holds about the dignity of marriage, how important marriage is, but how specific are the conditions for marriage. And the church then tries to reach out for those who are in difficulties in their marriage, because it's a really important thing to appreciate the very, very deep pain and hurt that is inflicted in marriage breakdown. And when such an intimate union breaks down, the suffering can be indescribable. I think we all understand that. There's anger that results and so on. We should all be aware. But the stakes in marriage are very high. I always say at weddings, don't be too proud to ask for God's help. It's really important. We need the support of each other through the church. We need the support of God in prayer. And in part, that's what we do every time we come to Holy Communion. We come to be fed, to be nourished, and to receive God's mercy. No one should be coming to Holy Communion to proclaim, hey, look at me, I'm on track. That's not what it is. As Pope Francis said recently, the sacrament is not there for the perfect. It's not a reward for the righteous. The sacrament is there to nourish us and help us. How tragic it is then that many find themselves in a situation where, through irregular marriage, for instance, they find themselves unable to receive this wonderful expression of God's love and mercy in Holy Communion. And that's the heartbreaking but controversial issue that the bishops continue to try and deal with, to find ways of enabling God's love to reach out through this great and wonderful sacrament. And there have been many ways, many clear insights. And if there is anybody who has doubts about their situation, then please do come talk to the priest and see if there can't be a way that the church can help resolve these issues. But whatever we do, we need to keep all such people in our prayer and in our love. So we consider with love those in pain, but we also celebrate with great, great joy the courageous example of those who show us God's love in the living out of their marriage. And we pray that God continues to bless them with strength and bless them in his mercy.